Welcome in to the Air Raid Sports Podcast. I am Chandler Carney. With me, as always, Brady Scott.
What up?
Today, we are joined by a very special guest, Kyle Shelton. Kyle, how you doing?
How's it going, guys?
Doing great, man. Glad you came on.
Appreciate it. Appreciate the invitation.
Oh, that's our graduation gift to you, man.
All right. Ready to get that over with.
Yeah, well, congrats on that, man. Very happy for you. Maybe one day we'll know what that's like.
Probably
it only took 5 years.
Probably not.
It's okay.
All right, so Kyle is a Giants fan, and we're just going to let you take it from here and tell us why Daniel Jones is a franchise quarterback.
All right, well, he probably throws with the most anticipation I've seen out of the class. He's built well. He's good at reading defenses. He probably gets the ball out quicker than most quarterbacks that I've like watched some tape on in the class. But one of the main reasons I think they went over him over Haskins was because you've got to have that demeanor that he's got to be able to handle the New York media.
That's true.
I just think people were scared of Haskins because not of his talent, but because of his attitude.
And the one year starter thing too with him not being an athlete that Kyler was.
Yeah, well, I mean, and he was set up to throw that much in that offense, you know?
And the weapons he had around him, you take out all the drag routes and screens that he throws to Paris Campbell and those like 4-3, sub-4-4 receivers that he throws to, there's a lot of yards that just from that talent being around him. Like, I don't know. We'll see though. We'll see two years down the road. We'll see how that pans out.
Those receivers at Ohio State get open.
Yeah, and they're fast as lightning.
And so probably you could look at 20% of his throws are wanting anybody within 10 yards of the receiver.
And how many the ACC is not that good either, but like how many defenses in the Big Ten did he play against that are like elite defense? What, Michigan?
Supposedly Michigan.
Yeah, I was going to say supposedly.
Michigan.
And he put 60 on them, so I guess not.
I mean, Northwestern was probably the best defense.
Michigan State's always solid.
Yeah.
Then they went and played Washington in the bowl game, and they were at the time the number one rated pass defense in college football.
And they struggled early, but in the second half they really shut him down. I don't know if he quit or not, but
so I mean,
because they just looked like in the fourth quarter they were just trying to get out of there.
Yeah, but I mean that was Washington all year, you know. Yeah. Them back. And Arizona State, I mean, they were just gonna come back in the second half, fourth quarter, and they can't win it there. Yeah,
but
so do you think that if the Giants had waited, do you think they could have got Daniel Jones at 17 and taken Josh Allen at 6? Because your dog predicted that they were going to take Allen.
Yeah, dude. My dog predicted Allen. You told me he wasn't going to fall. You told me he wasn't going to fall there.
Never bet he was there at 6.
Everything I'd read into said that he had the highest chance of all the guys projecting the top 5 to slip. Because, like, Quinnen Williams, most people had Quinnen Williams being a better player than Nick Bosa coming out. Like, Bosa's the safest player with, like, the highest floor, but I think Quentin has a higher ceiling based on his athleticism and the interior pass rush he gets.
I'm not a fan of Quentin Williams.
I think he's good, but I just don't think he's better than Bosa.
You can use the same argument with him as you do with Haskins. He only did it for 1 year.
Yeah.
Yeah, 1 year in the ACC on that front of the Alabama line leading that defense. Yeah. Like, that's, I mean.
And he was a 3-star recruit. He worked his way to get there.
He did, but I'm just not as big of a fan of him as other people.
I wouldn't either.
I've been known to be wrong, though.
Yeah, I mean, when Josh Allen started slipping, I remember looking at you. I was like, Kyle Shelton's dog knows more about football than I do, apparently.
And then, dude, I freaked out when we passed on Allen for Jones right there. I mean, I don't know. One of my friends got the whole reaction on Snapchat, dude. I freaked out and then had to simmer down. And we get down to 17, and I'm looking at the board, and I was like, well, Sweat's there. There's our pass rusher right there, Dexter Lawrence out of Clemson. I was like, shit. Like, then we trade back up to 30. I'm like, there's Juwan Taylor right there. I wanted him at 17 anyway, right there. DeAndre Baker. I was like, dude, they just surprised me with all the picks.
They needed secondary, though.
Drafted 3 corners and a total of 4, if you want to count. Sam Beal got him in the supplemental draft at the beginning of last year.
You can't go wrong with anybody from Clemson, I don't think, though.
That man's 6'4", 342 pounds, and runs like a 5-flat.
I mean, the only thing that shocked me was Clelin Ferrell going
4
so early.
Yeah.
Like that
I saw mocks with him projected 32 to the Pats, to Oakland at 27, and then they took Josh Jacobs too early too at 24. But we're not going.
I don't like that pick in the first round.
I don't like running backs in the first round unless you have like your Zeke's, your Fournette's, your guys you look at and you go, that's a guy that's going to be on my team until he just can't run the ball anymore. He's he's special.
Adrian Peterson.
Saquon Barkley picket too. You see those guys that are athletic that can do it all, and you're just like, okay, that's the guy you take in the first round. But
you may see Saquon Barkley again in 15 years.
I mean, you may see Zeke again in 15 years. I mean, that dude's a different breed of a talent.
Yeah. Bar an injury, Saquon Barkley's on track to be one of the best running backs of our generation, if not of all time in the NFL. That man's a beast.
That's no doubt. I think you see another great one next year, though, with ETN coming out of Clemson.
Yeah, he is good, but
he's not that.
He's not built the same way.
He's not that 5'11", 220, 230 frame that Saquon is that runs a 4.4. Like you got a guy that's built like that. You know he can take the hits. Dude, I don't know. I read some reports they're going to start using him more like Le'Veon Bell got used in Pittsburgh, lining him up in the slot, letting him release off the slot and stuff. So we'll see how that works. But I mean, if they said they was working on his route running and he does that,
locks him into the first round next year.
So we'll see.
So I think that the Giants were in a situation that the Browns were in last year, you know, and I know I told you this, Brady. So you're sitting at one and you got the first pick and you got the fourth pick and you really want Baker Mayfield. You want your franchise quarterback. But at the same time, the best player in the draft is Saquon Barkley.
Sitting there at one.
So I felt like they could have drafted Saquon first and then got their quarterback, Baker Mayfield, at four.
I don't think Baker would have been there at four.
I don't think so.
I don't think
nobody else liked him, but I don't think so.
Well, you can't read into too much anything you hear.
You never know, though, because everybody's trying to get you off of their guy by saying they like somebody else.
Yeah. I mean, I agree, but I'm just saying, you know.
You never.
They just did what the Browns did. They made the safe pick. We're taking our quarterback with our first picks. We don't want anything to happen.
Yeah, but they took a Heisman winner.
I'm not saying Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones or anything.
My thing is, he was the third, fourth best quarterback in his conference last year.
Yeah, but they come back to Daniel Jones on, like, you're looking at how many drop passes and wrong routes his receivers ran. He has the worst offensive line in the country going against. Yeah, when you play Clemson, if you watch the Clemson tape and you see, like, how much time he has in the pocket, it's zero. It's zero. That front four of Clemson is all in his lap right at the snap. They can't do anything about it.
Tua didn't have any time.
Yeah, that is true, too.
Nobody was getting any time against that front four if they didn't want you to.
Okay, but think about it like this. He's just Mitchell Trubisky. I mean, I know you're not high on him.
I hate Mitchell Trubisky. But I think Mitchell Trubisky is better than Daniel Jones.
Okay, but what did he do in college? He played literally
UNC
8 miles down the road, didn't do anything, started for like 2 years.
I'm just trying to help this man's career right now by hating him.
Dude, one of the things that gets overlooked is Jones' athleticism, though.
Yeah, he's got wheels.
People say that he's not. He had 260-yard runs against UNC. 260-yard touchdowns. He hits the secondary and hits the second gear, and those guys take wrong angles, and he's through.
And he's 6'5".
Yeah. There was one, they run some, like, design quarterback power with him, something you'd see, like, Cam Newton running in Carolina on some, like, goal line stuff. And he just hits a linebacker. I'm talking about drags him into the end zone with him. I don't know. Not that you can do that at the NFL level, but, like, kid comes back from a broken collarbone after 2 weeks. Like, he's tough. I don't know. He's got some anticipation in his throws. The biggest knock I've heard on him – probably the whole process, he has a weak arm, but like anybody that's not on ESPN, that's one of those media figureheads that just like talk about stuff that they think they know about, is that his arm's been compared to like Matt Ryan. He has like an average to maybe slightly above average arm, but it's not as weak as everybody thinks it is. He has the arm to make all the throws in the NFL.
He's not your Matthew Stafford. No, Patrick Mahomes, no. Sit there, yeah. Take one step and throw it 80 yards down.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's definitely not a Stafford or anybody like that with a cannon. But
when do you need
like
that?
Like a Philip Rivers. Like Philip Rivers doesn't have a strong arm. Like that's another comp he's getting. It's like Philip Rivers, like you're not going to see him throwing it, you know, 60 yards downfield, but like he'll fucking make all the throws that you need him to. So.
He is a certified gunslinger. Philip Rivers.
I agree.
He's a certified gunslinger.
But he doesn't have that arm strength. I'm not saying like style of play. I'm talking about arm strength.
I think he can throw it 60 yards if he needs to.
I mean, I think Daniel Jones can throw it 60 yards if he needs to.
But
you don't ever need to do that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Doesn't matter.
Most, I think, average air yards per deep ball in the NFL. I think I heard a stat was 35, 40 yards.
Yeah, because they don't run deep routes.
Something like that. So, I'm not 100% sure, but I don't know. We'll see.
I think that – so, the offensive coordinator for the Giants mm-hmm. says that Jones can be a day one starter. Do you agree with that? Having to be the starter and being the starter are two different things. Do you think he could be capable of it?
Yeah, I think he's smart. I think he's a smart enough kid to be able to learn the system and to be able to make the right decisions. He followed that up by saying, I listened to that interview yesterday. Followed that up by saying it was something along the lines about with him, not just him, but any quarterback that you draft early like that, that's a rookie that you put in. It's not about if he's a starter, can he do everything you want him to do? It's about if he's going to be your starter, you figure out what he can do well and you do that and work him into other areas. So like you go in as far as like Daniel, if you want to like make that comparison to Daniel Jones, it's short, intermediate routes. And you've got Saquon Barkley, the biggest dump off threat in the NFL. So like I think he could start day one, but I don't think he will.
So you think Eli's going to be the guy this year? Eli, one more year?
Yeah, I could see Eli playing the whole season unless he just has like historic, like awful year, and by 9 games in the season, they're already out of the playoffs. There's no chance. Then I think you see Jones coming in halfway through the season. Their bye is week 11 or 12. So like, I could see Eli nursing them through until week 11 or 12, and then Jones playing out from the bye.
My thing is, either one of them playing, I don't think they make the playoffs anyway.
Yeah, me either.
I don't think so. I don't think so either. I think they're a 7-win team, maybe.
Yeah,
Their offense gets a lot of knocks after losing Odell, but like, you got to think there's fucking Golden Tate, Shepard, Ingram. You got Corey Coleman coming back. If he can stay healthy, he can possibly be your 3. Latimer proved last year he can be a threat. And then you draft Darius Slayton, who's 6'1", what is he, 190, 200 pounds, runs a 4.39 out of Auburn. You get him, there's your vertical threat right there for straight line speed. So, I don't know. The offensive line, right tackle is your biggest hole. Right tackle is your biggest hole. They address guard with Zeitler. They got him from the Browns. He's a top 5 guard in the league. And then you have Jalapio and Spencer Pulley fighting for center. And then right tackle is your big hole, which you drafted George. I'm going to butcher his last name. Asifa Ajay or something like that in the 7th round. But I mean, he had to go up against Josh Allen every day in practice. And they said they liked his athleticism and ability to kick out off the right side. So
my thing is, if they can protect Eli, they have a strong chance to win the division if they can stop people from scoring. Because you look across the division.
They scored the most points in the NFC last year, but allowed the most points in the NFC last year.
Carson Wentz gets hurt. They ain't got Nick Foles anymore, so they're screwed. And you have Washington with a rookie quarterback.
If he even starts day one. Yeah. I think Keenum gets to start for at least a couple weeks.
I don't think it's long.
I don't think it's long, but I don't think they're going to be like, all right, week one, go in there. Because then if he like starts playing really bad in the first couple weeks, we're like, okay, well, why is this kid in here? Like, it's the beginning of the season. We're just tanking. Like, what's going on? You go 0-2 with the rookie quarterback, and you go, well, Case Keenum had a hell of a year 2 years ago in Minnesota. Yeah. Well, why can't you put him in there and do something with him? He won games last year in Denver. Like, why? Like, he didn't play as good, but like, why can't you like figure out what they did with him? Like, I don't know. You just have a lot of questions right there. Even Colt McCoy, I think the fans would rather see him in there if they're losing than Daniel Jones. I mean, then
well, Haskins. He won't be ready.
My thing is,
I think it's going to be tibia. It's going to be close. Yeah, but then he's still going to be in camp. I think he's going to be back for camp.
He's a local guy, so I think it's easier to play him. And as Hard Knocks has taught us, don't say you will not start your rookie quarterback.
That is true.
Do not say that.
Because Hugh Jackson said he would not start Baker Mayfield.
Baker Mayfield was not starting last year. And then Tyrod Taylor gets hurt. Baker comes in.
Doesn't give it up.
Hugh gets fired.
Has one of the best seasons as a rookie quarterback in recent history.
And he played half the season.
Yep.
Exactly. Go Browns.
But that also comes in. Do you have to think right there at that point, though? It's all about tape. You come in the NFL as a rookie. How many times do you see guys in their first year in the league, quarterback, defense, certain positions, they have great years. You get tape on them. You go, hey, this is what they do well. This is how we stop them. It's easier to neutralize guys you have tape on.
That's the thing. Sam Darnold was last year's can't-miss quarterback, and they won, 4 or 5 ball games?
Yeah, but after he came off injury, I think it was over the last 6 games, he had the highest or second highest QBR in the NFL over the past 6 games of the season.
Your rookie quarterbacks are going to be – they're going to struggle the first half. They're going to figure it out the next quarter. And then the last 4 or 5 games, they're going to be basically they're ready.
And then at that point, you go to the next season, teams have tape on them. And it's whether they can adjust and if they actually know how to make their reads or if it's just like them doing stuff that teams haven't seen on tape. Like, they don't know, like, how, like, their tendencies. Like, what he does when he's read this. Is he actually looking off a safety, or is he, like, actually, like, staring a guy down going over there? Like, it just depends on, like, how their progressions work and stuff.
And I may be wrong, but doesn't Peyton Manning hold the record for most interceptions thrown in a rookie season?
He does.
So, there you go. You can't read into a rookie season. He's probably, in my opinion, the greatest quarterback to ever play in the NFL.
He's the greatest regular season quarterback to ever play in the NFL.
He's definitely top five.
Not the greatest winner in the postseason.
I mean, the greatest winner is Brady. That's hands down.
He's the greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion. You label Brady the GOAT, but he's the greatest winner. But if you ask me, Peyton's the greatest quarterback. And
off pure talent and ability to play the position, yeah. 100%.
Knowledge of the game.
100%. So you'd say Peyton Manning is the best quarterback to play the game?
Oh, yeah.
Nobody.
I'm talking about pure football, pure quarterback position ability. He's the best player to ever play that position. And then you get the argument Brady. It's not that Brady's a system quarterback, but he sure as hell helped out by having Belichick behind him.
Yeah. You're not gonna know. Nobody knows more going into a game than Peyton. You're not gonna know anything or be able to show him anything that he hasn't seen.
How many highlights you've seen of Peyton Manning when he's sitting there at the line, walks up, check, steps back, fires one look right to where he knew the player was gonna be open
at. It's wide open every time.
I mean, I'm not disagreeing with y'all. I mean, I think that, you know, he is definitely one of a kind, especially with his football IQ.
Nobody has but higher IQ in the NFL.
I mean, he might actually be one of the most unathletic people on the face of the earth, too.
Him and Eli both. That family's not didn't build athletes.
Cooper was blessed with athleticism.
Yeah, before he got hurt.
But it makes you wonder, you know, aren't you just running around everywhere?
They can't run out of sight in 5 days. And then you have Archie, who's supposedly running quarterback.
So my brother went to a Manning Passing Academy this one year, and someone asked Peyton, you know, what do you and Eli run in the 40? And he was like, that is not a race anybody wants to see.
That's fair.
Somebody pulled up the stat. I think it was some podcast I was listening to. It was Daniel Jones's last season at Duke versus Eli Manning's career rushing yards. And I think Eli's career over the past 15 years has only eclipsed Daniel Jones's one season by like 70 yards. Eli's attempts were higher than his yardage total.
That's not shocking.
Yeah, but I know they used to count like sacks as rushing attempts too, also. So I don't know if they still do that either.
I think they got rid of it, but I mean, still, the 10 years, 11 years that did count sort of hurts.
It took Brady like 20 years to get 1,000 rushing yards, you know? It was 19 years.
Came back, man.
And the over-under was 20. So
that's rough.
All right, so who had the best draft this year, in your opinions? Do you think it's the Giants?
No, not best overall. Indy had a really good draft. They traded out, got some more second-round picks, had a really good day two. Let's see. I'm trying to think who else had. If Arizona would have addressed offensive line a little bit, I think their draft would have been really good. They're trying to go to that spread offense. They want to run with Kyler. They draft like three or four receivers in this draft. Like, I think if one of those earlier picks, you take a receiver, you take a lineman, then you're starting to like kind of address what you want to do on offense. Their defense is still questionable. I don't know what their new coordinators and stuff are going to do.
The Cardinals ruined having the best draft when they took Andy Isabella from UMass. In the second round.
He's a baller.
Dude, he's good.
I don't take him in the second round.
Dude, he wouldn't have been there later. He's good.
I don't take him in the
second round. I mean, I know we're all sitting here thinking, you know, we're DK Metcalf fans.
But I would have taken Butler over him.
Dude from Iowa State?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, he's good. Don't get me wrong. But I think that the thing with it is you do have to have receivers in that system.
Yeah.
But you have to have the right receivers in that system.
They wanted Julian Edelman. That's why they took him.
Dude, he's not a slot receiver. I don't know if you've watched any of his tape. He's an outside guy. He played only outside of UMass. He runs a 4-3. All he did was beat press man and go over the top when people running that 4-3. He's not a slot guy.
I think that
he's a deep. He's
I
a
think
deep.
He has to transition to the slot in the NFL.
You think so?
T.Y.'s not a slot guy. T.Y.'s the same size. He's faster than T.Y.
I think
the Seahawks had the best draft, and this is why. It's not names that they drafted, and it's not because they drafted DK. But it's because they had a plan going into the draft where we paid our quarterback an outrageous amount of money, and we can't pay anybody else. So we're going to trade people. We're going to get our draft picks, and we're just going to draft talent around him.
Get younger and get more cost-effective.
And that's exactly what they did. And I think that they had the best draft because they had a plan and they stuck with it.
I'll just give you the cliche. When you look back 5 years, Patriots had the best draft.
I think that's been consistent over the past couple of years, though. Forever, since Belichick's been there.
Well, your Browns had a pretty good draft. You know, they saw talent, and Dorsey's like, hey, we're gonna trade up and get this guy.
Carolina had a good draft.
I love
the Carolina. They got Brian Burns at 16, probably one of the most effective pure pass rushers in the draft. I think they drafted Greg Little a little high in the second round, but if he is that tackle, that pass protecting tackle you need, he fills a hole, protects Cam, and then you get what some people call the second or third best quarterback in the draft in the third round, and Will Greer, which I liked him a lot. I think he was an early second round guy and slips all the way into the third to Carolina. So, like, I like their draft.
People just didn't need quarterbacks this year. That's why that's why he failed.
Yeah, but Mac Wilson is a steal in the fifth round. He should not have been there.
No. Well, I like the Taki pick, you know.
Yeah.
From BYU. I mean, that's a really good pick. And then them trading up to get Greedy Williams.
He shouldn't have been past four or five picks on day two.
Nah. Well, the only issue I have with that is they're going to have to change their new coordinator is going to have to change his system for their corners. He ran top 5% of zone coverage in the league in Arizona, and all the corners he's got that have produced are all press man guys. Greedy's not an off coverage guy. There was a clip. There was a clip that came out of rookie minicamp. The first time they put him an off coverage, he got double moved, bit on it, burnt easy. Like you can't have that. He's gonna have to be on the line getting his hands on guys. He has 34 inch arms. He's got like guards, like he's length long. Arms. Like he's a long guy. He's gonna be getting up, pressing you, keeping you as close to the line, bumping you off your outs.
And that's what he's done at LSU.
Yeah, that's all. That yeah, and
that's he, all they
and
he,
and yeah. three, a reason, one of the reasons he slipped, he didn't take any visits. No visits. Didn't go to any team.
And
he chooses not to tackle. He doesn't like to tackle. He doesn't enjoy tackling people.
Yeah.
You're watching film. You're looking at a guy when he gives up a route and he fucking just dives at a dude's feet and just lets him keep going. You're like, dude, you ran a fucking 4.4 or whatever it was. Go chase a man down. I don't know, man. There was just a lot of stuff coming about him. He doesn't like to tackle. That's part of the reason he slipped. He's not a physical guy.
He's a great two corner the other side of Denzel Ward though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
because he's their clear number one. He's going to cover the best receiver on the other team.
Is that Ward?
Yeah.
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 And, I mean, maybe a year or two down the road, you just designate him a side. If Greedy turns into what people think he can be, and they just each play a side.
Yeah.
Because I think once he gets comfortable, they're basically the same player.
I think the whole tackling situation wouldn't be an issue for me. Mm-hmm. Like, he's a corner. Like, he doesn't He shouldn't have to tackle.
How many opportunities is he really going to have to tackle a game? Three or four?
Enough that if he misses a guy one-on-one on the outside, it could be the difference between winning and losing a game.
Yeah, but
if he's burnt, he's burnt.
Okay, but what I mean by tackling is I'm saying coming up in a run game to tackle. You know, like if your guy catches the ball, teams
in the NFL love their little swing routes to the flats, and that's all one-on-one with the corner or a safety if a safety's got man. Like if it's him out there on an island.
I think they're good enough. If he's that bad at tackling, they'll have somebody in the area.
Okay, so
– or if he's that bad at tackling, he'll be sitting on the bench.
If they're playing the Johns and Saquon comes out on a swing route, they're going to dump it to his side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not running up to tackle Saquon either, so I don't blame him. He's not going to make that tackle no matter what.
Shouldn't have a job in the NFL.
I don't want to hit the brick wall that is his legs.
Yeah.
For real.
Make it look like you did something.
We're talking about value. This might be a little bit of bias here, me being a Giants fan. Fourth round corner out of Notre Dame, Julian Love.
Everybody talked about him last year.
Yeah. He came out. He was supposed to be an early day two guy. For some reason, slipped into the fourth.
What's he run?
4.452. He doesn't quite run the under under 4.5, but they're from everything I've read, they're trying to transition him to safety. He's the heir apparent to Antoine Bethea at free safety for the Giants. If he can pick up the position,
they need somebody.
If they said if he can pick up the position as well as they want him to. If not, they say he's a true slot guy if they can't make the transition from.
They're also banking that Jabril Peppers keeps doing what he was doing in Cleveland.
Well, his first year in Cleveland was awful. And then last year, but they played him purely at free. He played one high he's almost terrible. His whole year at Cleveland. And it was really bad. His second year, they played him more slot and closer to the box. And he graded out better. But
jokes on y'all. Y'all got a crappy player.
Brady hates Jabril Peppers, man. Like,
with a passion.
Worst person in the league.
He's
terrible.
He's in the defense where if he's going to succeed, he's going to succeed. James Betcher loves his versatile playmakers. He can stack them close to the line, move them to the slot, move them to safety. He can play five positions along that defense, and that's something that you can't really teach.
Without y'all like him.
That athleticism.
Get out of Cleveland.
Brady's a Browns fan. Do you know that?
No, I did not know that.
He's been a Browns fan his whole life.
No, that's correct.
But by that logic, you know,
about
3 weeks. Well, I'm a Saints fan, and we didn't have a great draft, so.
We don't have a pick to what, the third round?
In my defense.
I think it was the second round, and then they traded up.
Y'all traded up to get Marcus Davenport last year and screwed the draft this year.
Well, he's a good player. And he produced,
but to trade up to go get a guy, you're not getting the value for trading up. You ruined two drafts going to get that guy.
I agree with you completely. A guy who
most people thought would have been there when they picked, they traded up, gave up assets to go get him. But I mean, I'm a big like pro football focus guy. Like I liked all the numbers and like the values they like assigned to things. And there's not ever a reason to trade up in the draft according to them value wise unless you're going to get a quarterback. Yeah. And it has to be the guy at quarterback you're going to get.
I agree.
I mean, yeah, look at the Chiefs. They traded up because they felt like the Giants were going to take Mahomes.
And then,
so they traded up and got him.
And then Mahomes turns out to be possibly the next Aaron Rodgers as quarterback. We'll see. That's 1 year tape. We'll see if I'm not saying he's not good. We'll see when teams have tape on him, but we can game plan fully after a full season and knowing what he likes to do. We'll see.
Looks like his number two target isn't going to be there.
Yeah.
Who's his number one target?
Travis Kelce.
Oh, okay. Well, that's what I was about to say. Who's number one?
Man. Come on, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do y'all think about the Rashawn Gary pick at 12 by the
Too
Packers?
High.
Yeah.
Too high.
That's exactly what I thought. He's going to be there later. And there's other defensive linemen in that draft that are better there than him.
Even the Christian Wilkins pick at 13 right after. He's not an edge rusher, but he's a better overall player. Yes.
Simmons is better.
Simmons is better. I know they run 3-4 or 4-3 in Green Bay.
I want to say they run a 4-3.
Okay, well that's why the Brian Burns pick didn't make sense. He's a pure outside linebacker like on third downs. He's got to get bigger before you even put him on the field on first and second down. But
Montez Sweat is better.
Montez Sweat had a heart issue get flagged, and that's why he dropped. He has something to do with his heart, and he dropped for that.
They cleared him before the draft, though. They said he's going to be fine.
Yeah, but that's still a red flag,
but
you know.
Still, at that point, you're going to take a guy in the top 15, top 20. That
for a 1% chance that it ever flares up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, it's 50-50. It's either going to or it's not.
Yeah, but I mean.
I don't know. I put you in the GM seat. Somebody tells you that there's a chance you draft a guy in the top 15 that might play for a season and never play again because he has a heart condition.
Yeah, you don't sign him.
Are you going to risk your job?
No, you don't. So, but I don't put my faith in Rashawn Gary either.
Oh, no, 100%. Definitely not.
Number one player out of high school, and Chase Winovich is the best defensive lineman at Michigan.
Yep.
The entire time he's there.
Yeah.
And that's not supposed to happen.
Dude, I heard an argument that somebody tried to make saying that the position that Michigan had Rashawn Gary playing wasn't your playmaking spot. He was there to set the edge and eat up block. And somebody was like, even if that's the case, you're telling me you're not putting your best player on the field in the position to make plays.
Yes,
it's like that doesn't even make sense.
That's a defensive line situation.
There's Jim Harbaugh.
Not a defensive end. You put your defensive lineman there to eat up plays if you're running a linebacker or edge system.
If you're as good as him or you're as good as he's supposed to be, you're not eating up blocks.
All right, so as far as receivers going in the draft, you know, obviously all three of us, students at Ole Miss, fans of Ole Miss. What about A.J. Brown, you know, and DK slipping? Which I told you, Kyle, that I didn't think DK would be a first-round talent.
You told me he was going to slip. I didn't agree with you, but the more I looked at it, I saw some stats. In the 3 years he was here, he caught 60-something passes. In the whole 3 years, he played 13 games total or so, something like that. He couldn't stay on the field. The whole AJ situation, though, I think he's the most complete receiver in the draft. People have him as like a slot guy. I think he can be your true number one. You can move in and out. He reminds me of like a little bit of Stephon Diggs, a little bit. He's a little shorter than Diggs is, but he reminds me of that guy. You can move him inside, you move him outside. He's going to go up and contest. He plays a lot bigger than he is. Like, I feel like Stephon plays like he's a lot bigger than 6'2", and AJ plays like he's a lot bigger than 6 foot.
He's got the best hands in the draft, in my opinion.
I'd agree with that.
But you said best hands?
And he might be the best route runner as well.
I think he is the best route runner for sure.
And I think he's the most explosive after the catch guy. That is as far as like being a complete receiver. Now you have like your Paris Campbells and your guys that run 4.3s, but they're just running past guys. You got AJ, he's knocking people over, like he's making people, he's shedding tackles. He's like running back when he gets the ball in his hands.
But, yeah, what he means that's by fair. That is he knows how to make people miss.
Yeah, that's fair. But
I think that so I remember this, you know, the Saints traded up and I'm like, okay.
You were dying for them to take either one of them.
They're gonna go get one. They're gonna go get a receiver. I mean, I've never felt like an Ole Miss guy going to the Saints was going to happen like that. But in that moment, I was like, they're about to go. Because
the stars
had
aligned.
They need a playmaking receiver across the middle to pair with
opposite of Michael Thomas.
And they don't do it. Well,
that's what happens when your center retires.
I mean,
two or three months before the draft.
They needed a center. Don't get me wrong.
And a lot of people had Eric McCoy as the second best center in the draft. Bradbury got drafted first, but a lot of people said
he's very athletic.
Yeah. He's good. He's like, don't get me wrong, I'm not knocking the guy. That's a good pick.
Yeah.
But I just thought the chips were about to fall and it was going to happen.
And then Irv Smith at tight end going to Minnesota. I think that was a reach. I don't like him at tight end, though. He's more of an H-back. He's like 6'2". He's wide receiver size. What are you going to do? Line him up at tight end? He's not that mismatch. If you're drafting a tight end that's going to be a receiving tight end, you want the guy to be a mismatch. You want him to be big, strong. Like, even if he's not super fast, you want to be that guy where he's lined up against a safety. He's 4 or 5 inches taller. His arms are 4 or 5 inches longer. Like, he's just not that guy. You're going to have to move him. He's going to play a lot of slot for you. He's not going to line up in line much, in my opinion. Now, they might try to do it with him, but you have Kyle Rudolph there, too.
That's what I was about to say. Kyle Rudolph?
There's your inline guy, but like,
you'd rather have one of those Iowa guys.
Oh, yeah. I like Hawkinson. I think he went a little high being top 10. He went
just Detroit for you.
I think Fant's better than him in my opinion.
I think Fant's a better receiver, all around. Hawkinson's your inline guy. There's tape of him blowing DNs off the ball. Like, dude, it's 6'5 and go out there, runs a 4.75, 4.7.
Who's their running back?
For Detroit?
Yeah.
Kerryon Johnson.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's coming back off injury.
I was just going to ask me, I was like, dude, I have no clue.
Yeah, now. I was going to say, I have no idea.
I wouldn't give you that one unless I had already looked it up. I'd give you the answer.
Yeah, well, I knew it was Kerryon just because I had him on my fantasy team last year.
Trash.
I think that the level line should have went a different direction that first round pick. First round tight ends and running backs aren't the way to go.
What do you think? Where do you think they go? D-line?
Well, let's see.
Or they have Matt Patricia, so that's what I would assume they go defense.
All right, well, at 8, if you don't take Hawkinson, Oliver's on the board, Bush is on the board. Christian Wilkins is on the board.
Jonah Williams.
Yeah, if you need a tackle, Jonah Williams is on the board. Like,
name me one of their defensive linemen for the Lions.
Huh?
Name me a defensive lineman for the Lions.
Well, I could have before like 2 days ago, but they traded Anza to the Seahawks.
No, they didn't sign him. They didn't trade him. Yeah, they didn't sign him. The Seahawks signed him. He's a free agent. And then
that's all I got.
Ndamukong Suh's still a free agent right now, too. We'll see where he goes here.
Well, he was with the Rams
last year for one year, and he hasn't re-signed anywhere yet.
Well, I mean, nobody really wants him. He wants too much money, and he doesn't produce enough.
Yeah,
I don't care what his antics on the field are. Like, he just doesn't produce for the amount of money he has.
That's good.
With his age, the Rams needed him on that line last year for them to be able to do what they did because their front seven, other than their line. Their linebackers are probably their weakest position, and you couldn't bank on guys on their linebacker shedding blocks. You had to have somebody who was going to acquire double teams every now and then. You got him and Donald next to each other, and what's the other guy on that line, the pass rusher, they like really, really good on the outside.
I traded it for Fowler.
Is it Littleton? Is it Littleton, or is he play linebacker?
Maybe.
For
I never used to be. Cool. He used to be Eugene Sims, but I know he's not there anymore.
I think they run a 3-4, though.
The Rams?
Yeah.
I have no clue, man.
I'm pretty sure they do. What they just bring the outside linebacker they run every time.
I think 70% of snaps are in nickel or like not out of base or in sub packages now. So there's four man line most of the time, regardless.
Yeah.
So you're going to run your edge rushers are going to be your hand in the dirt on the line anyway.
I think the team that runs the most like three man front it's got to be the Steelers because they bring T.J. Watt off that edge so much.
Yep. Well, that's the ability that having athletic linebackers gives you, though. Yeah. Like when you have linebackers that can cover tight ends and running backs in space, you can stay in base. You don't have to bring that extra DB on the field all the time when you have an extra wide receiver, an extra tight end on the field. You don't have to worry about it as much.
No.
That's why they traded up to get Devin Bush. They need that Shazier replacement.
Yeah, I mean, he's walking again, so congrats to him.
Dance does what?
Yeah, Dance does what?
Did that 3-foot box jump like a month ago, like a couple weeks ago.
That's crazy.
He said, dude, he says he wants to come back play in the NFL. More power to him, man. I don't know if like after being, I couldn't do it. I don't after getting paralyzed, thinking I might not ever walk again, getting back on that field.
That's just
being able to get back to the athletic ability to be able to play in the NFL. Like going like you couldn't walk. I mean,
like you're starting from ground zero.
Yeah, like he couldn't walk. He couldn't walk. Like
you're not supposed to walk again.
Yeah, exactly. Like more power to him, though. If that's. He will unseat Tiger Woods as the greatest comeback player of any professional sport if he comes back and plays in the NFL.
Absolutely.
That's the only person right now that has a chance to unseat Tiger as comeback player of the fucking century.
Unless Brett Favre comes back again and wins the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
We'll see.
I mean, I was going to say, I probably wouldn't rule that out, him trying to come back and play for a team.
Brett Favre's out of money again.
Aaron Rodgers gets ready to leave Green Bay. All right, I'm back, boys. Come on. Sign me up.
No, Tom Brady's still playing. I can, too.
Well, the thing, you know, he went on that thing with Gruden a few years ago, and they're just throwing in the gym, you know, in Gruden's camp. And
rockets.
And Gruden's like, man, you still got the arm. He's like, you know, the arm's not the problem. It's getting hit. I don't want to get hit anymore. So, what do you think about Drew Lock going to the Broncos? You think that was a good pick?
Yes,
I think that was a great pick. Probably one of the best of the draft.
I think he was the second quarterback on their board. The fact they got him as late as they did, I think that's good for them.
I think he's starting by game 9 or 10.
No, I think Joe Flacco is a cancer. He's got too much to work on, dude. He was getting too many Jay Cutler comparisons about not being able to set his feet. Only trusting his arm a lot of the times whenever he needs to be able to set his feet, use his whole body to make throws. He's got too much of that in. They're going to try to coach that out of him. I think next year he could be your starter.
But I think it's a Haskins situation. You know, I think
when John Elway looks up and they're 2-6, 2-8 through 10 games.
That's what I was saying. If I'm going to lose,
I'm not going to lose with Joe Flacco anymore.
I mean, I agree with that, but I think you're not giving him his credit.
I don't think he's day one.
I don't think
he's not day one, but I mean,
I don't think Flacco's done. Flacco's like 32, 33.
Flacco is terrible.
Flacco's just an average quarterback. He's not terrible.
He had his year in the sun, but now he's just a run of the mill quarterback.
He's definitely not bottom. He's not a bottom half.
He's not a bottom half.
You're not going to pick in the top 10 with him, but you're not going to pick below 20 either. You're gonna sit there from that 15.
I think it depends on the team they put around him. I don't know if they have the weapons that he needs to be successful.
It's like when Peyton Manning was there. It all depends on how good the defense is and how far they take you.
Yeah, can Von Miller take you back to a Super Bowl?
No,
by himself. No, if they don't re-sign Charles Harris, no. He asked for a new contract a couple months ago. And they said they weren't giving him one.
I think
they're
sometimes
not paying anybody. That's why everybody's leaving.
Sometimes you just got to start from ground and build up.
That's where the Giants are at this year. Everybody was giving them flack about not signing Landon and stuff, but like you can't.
I wouldn't have signed him either.
You're paying, especially not if you wanted $88 million. You're paying $88 million for an extra linebacker to play on the field, a guy who can barely cover and he makes tackles. And you know, I don't know. He had a hell of a second year, good rookie year. And then people started going, well, we just put a tight end on him. He can't really do anything. Like, what's he going to do? He's 6 foot. We put a 6'5 tight end on him, let him turn around, make some back shoulder plays. Like, he can't do anything about it. He can't cover.
It's like Olivier Vernon when they signed him. I felt like they overpaid for him and his talent.
That was the whole Jerry Reese regime right there. Like, they came off, that was 2016 when they signed those guys, went 13-3, and you paid, I think, between those three players they signed, it was Olivier, Janoris Jenkins, and Snacks Harrison. Between those three guys that they gave contracts to, had up over 40% of the cap. And then that's why
it was like over $100 million between them.
And they couldn't pay any of their, like, I guess, like B players, they're like fill in players to stay on the team. So then you just have a bunch of like unsigned free agents and stuff you have to fill in roster holes with. And that's why they went from 3-13, losing the majority of their roster, going 13-3, and then firing him and McAdoo and having to rebuild from there.
What do you think? So when they hired McAdoo, were you excited about it?
I didn't even know enough about McAdoo when he got hired. I loved the Pat Shurmur hire when they hired him. I really liked him coming from Minnesota, but I wasn't ecstatic about the McAdoo hire. But when he went 3-13 that first year, you go, okay, maybe we've got something here. And then you go, oh, wow, okay, that we signed all these players, all this money, and you can't afford to pay all of them. But, like, that's the rebuild they're in now. As a Giants fan, I see where they're going. They're building through the draft. They're the only player still on the roster from those big threes, Janoris. And I think this is his last year. I don't think he's coming back next year. I think they're going to try to trade him.
I don't blame him.
I think after they drafted all those young corners, I think that they're going to try to do that. I have the numbers pulled up from over the cap right here. The base salary cap in 2020 goes up to $200 million even. And the Giants are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, ninth on that list. But the Cowboys are ahead of them as of right now. And that number is going to get eat into, and they have to sign Dak and Amari.
So they're signed Dak.
No, they're prepared to sign him 30 million.
He's getting 30 a year.
That's just stupid.
That's ignorant.
Because guess what? Zeke carries Dak.
Oh, I'd agree with that.
He's more valuable than Dak is.
Yeah. Easily. Dak is a quarterback. He's going to win you some regular season games. You might make some playoff appearances, but he's never going to win you a Super Bowl.
No. Your statement is 100% accurate. The team's going to go as far as Zeke takes them.
Look, when they stop that offensive line, when they stop the run game, ball game, Cowboys are losing. If they can't run the ball, they're going to lose.
We'll see how Jason Witten affects the pass game this year coming back.
Yeah, they might go to Super Bowl now.
He can't run out of sight in 6 days.
Well, if he comes back and his talent level now is anything like he was in the booth last year, they're going to suck ass.
He will be no worse than he was as a commentator, and I will 100% guarantee you that.
That is true.
He will be no worse. And plus, as bad as he was, the Monday Night Football booth found a way to get worse.
Yeah, they actually did.
I didn't think it was possible, but it happened.
I was actually shocked that the Giants didn't. You know, they took Daniel Jones, obviously, but I told Brady before the draft, I said, I bet you the Giants are going to take Kyle Shurmur in like the seventh round just so he can go play for his daddy.
I didn't think Pat wanted to do that. And have to worry about the only reason you draft him because he's your kid. He gets signed by Kansas City. Andy Reid gave Pat his first ever job in the NFL as a coordinator. And so you make a call to Andy whenever your son doesn't get picked. Hey, what can you do for me? Send him out. He's going to, I don't know. We'll see.
He can make the roster. He's a talented quarterback.
He'll make the roster.
You just don't hear anything about it because he played Vanderbilt.
So,
but he broke all of Jay Cutler's records. You know, I think that he is the epitome of what Joe Flacco is. Like, if somebody gave him a chance 2-3 years down the line,
you put enough talent around him, he can take you to at least the playoffs, make a run, but like, he's not going to be able to do it.
No. But he's an NFL ready quarterback, the system, the size, the arm talent, everything.
I agree with that.
So let's do our way too early predictions for next year. Like, who you think's going to get the Super Bowl?
Ooh. Well, who's coming from the NFC? AFC's a lock.
So you're saying the Pats are a lock?
It's like betting against Alabama.
You don't think Mahomes takes the Chiefs over?
Not without Tyreek Hill.
No.
If he wouldn't have lost Tyreek Hill, I would probably give the Chiefs a lock.
But, I mean, you don't know what's going to happen with Tyreek Hill.
Your sleeper team in the AFC is the Chargers this year. Philip Rivers on his last couple of years playing in the NFL. If he ever had a team around him to be able to do it, it's his team this year. They didn't really lose anybody from last year. They added some pieces through the draft. They got Nasir Adderley out of Delaware, probably number 2 or 3 overall free safety in the draft, to sit next to Derwin James on that defense. We'll see. Well, they lost Tyrell Williams, but then you have Mike Williams stepping up in a bigger role for them. So, I mean, that's good.
Say it, dude. You know you want to say it.
What?
Go ahead. Say who you think's going to the Super Bowl.
I don't know. I was just going to say you don't know who the running back is in Kansas City either.
No, but I mean, I figured if you got that shit-eating grin on your face, you're like, oh, Browns are going to go.
No, they're not going.
They added a weapon. They're going.
They're
going
to win the division, but they're not
going to the playoffs.
They're not going to the Super Bowl.
They're a playoff team.
They're winning the division.
Yeah, I mean, what are they going to do? Be a blind guy out for it?
The only other team in the division is Pittsburgh, and like,
they're falling apart, man.
The Browns are winning the division.
I don't. Pittsburgh has made the playoffs 7 out of the last 8 years.
But the
they can make it a wild card.
They are falling apart.
I didn't say they wouldn't be a wild card. The Browns are winning the division.
The Saints are going to the Super Bowl next year, so
I can see it.
I
could see it
because they ain't lost nobody. Lost a center.
And they drafted a new center. Is probably one of the.
They lost Ben Watson.
They may be the most unlucky team in the world when it comes to postseason.
All right, we're sitting here saying they're losing. They lost Mark Ingram. They let him walk.
They may be the most unlucky team in the postseason.
Well, let me just tell you, man. It's now or it's never.
It's never. It's this year.
This is it. This is if you're going.
I don't think it's gonna happen.
This is it. All right, that's fine.
We'll see.
I'm gonna stay optimistic about it.
I give you my blessing by saying it's not gonna happen.
Thank you. When Brady says stuff's not going to happen, it is 100%. It's going to happen.
It's 100%er.
When we do our college picks, every time he picked Mississippi State just to get a sure win, they lost.
And State fans were mad at me because I would never pick them.
And so I stopped picking them because they kept losing.
I picked them three times. They lost all three games.
Dang.
And every time I didn't pick them, they won.
I know we say this every year, but I say we. Most people say this every year. I don't know if Brady has the weapons to do it again this year.
He has the number one receiver in that draft class, in my opinion, in N'Keal Harry.
N'Keal Harry's going to have to play a lot more slot than he played outside because he cannot beat press man coverage.
If
anybody got hands on him, he couldn't get out of inside of 5 yards. That's it. Like, unless you're playing off on him. He's not releasing. You have to play slot to get some free releases unless they teach him how to use his hands a lot better at the line. He could not explode off the start of his routes.
My thing is are you going to miss Gronk? Yeah, but played.
You're going to miss Gronk because every time you needed a play and he was on the field, that's who you went to.
You
split him out wide and you go put whoever you want to on the corner. He's going to run 20 yards and it's going to be back shoulder. He's going to catch it. That's it. Who you gonna do that
who's
with?
Who's the guy this
N'Keal
year?
Harry's not doing that. He's not that mismatch.
I'm just saying, he misses half the season anyway.
He's the greatest tight end to ever play the position. You're gonna miss him. You're gonna miss him.
Yeah, for 8 games.
You're gonna miss him
in the postseason. You are gonna miss
him. Yeah, okay, that's fair in the postseason
because they're getting to the playoffs no matter what they do.
Well, yeah, they play in the AFC East.
All you got
to do is win your division games against three of the worst teams in the NFL that you play against in that division over there. And then you win three or four more games outside
of
the division.
They're not going to lose the division.
No.
There's no way.
There's not a team in that division that's good enough to even challenge them. The only team that ever puts up a fight as far as like winning divisional games against them is they lose the one game a year when they go to Miami because they can't play
they can't
in Miami. They can't win in the heat in Miami. Any other game they go to, it doesn't matter. They're going to win. They're going to walk out. They're going to just about sweep the division. They're going to win 4 or 5 games out of the division. They're going to have 10 or 11 wins, and they're going to go to
the
playoff.
They have the most favorable schedule in the NFL.
Yep.
But it's not their fault, though, that the other team sucked.
Yeah, but Kansas City comes to New England last year. Kansas City goes back to New England this year. How's that happen?
Okay, say it again.
Kansas City went to New England in the regular season last year.
Yeah.
They're going back this year.
The way that happens is when they generate the schedules. So, like,
that shouldn't be a thing.
They're gonna play the AFC West. And then they're going to have to play their ones.
Yeah. It shouldn't be a thing, though.
Well, the Patriots finished higher than them, so they get the home field advantage.
That's how that works.
That's how scheduling
works. They pair every year when they make the schedules, they pair. So the NFC East this year plays the NFC South, I think. The out of division teams we play this year. So they do that, and then it's ranked on like how you finish, who gets home field advantage, and then there's something or another. Like,
and then division from the AFC.
Yeah. And then they pick based on the ratings and things they're going to get. They give whoever gets primetime games and stuff. Like, the only primetime games we get this year, we start off with the Cowboys on Sunday. We play a Thursday night game, the rematch against the 2011 Super Bowl, Brady against Eli. is a Thursday night game.
Well, if Eli's playing.
It's not college football. You don't just sign a contract. But like, yeah, we're going to do a home and home with you.
That's only fair, in my opinion.
I'm not saying that it's not fair. I'm just telling you that that's how they do it. And that's how they always do it.
That's just how it works.
That's stupid. Well,
NFL and then stupid. And now
I shouldn't expect
home field advantage really getting a thing there.
And now the teams that are losing home games play international games are getting screwed.
Yeah.
That's stupid. There was some team.
The NFL.
I can't remember who it is. Some team that plays an international game has one of the roughest road schedules ever. They travel like West Coast, back to East Coast, play at home, go international, and then come back, play on the road. It's ridiculous.
Why do they play games in London?
Because they want to take it global. But they'll never be a team in London.
I don't think so.
I think if you go to a different city, Mexico, Toronto.
Mexico's okay. It's right here. It's not a burden on your travel.
As bad.
Yeah, I mean, you're not flying across the ocean or anything.
Does the NBA play games in Spain during the regular season?
During the regular season, no. They just play them exhibition games.
Well, exactly.
Because Spain has their own, like, league. Europe has
Well, they go to China and play in all those games, too.
Yeah.
But not during the regular season.
No.
Do a preseason game over there if you're going
to. Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Don't take somebody's home. Don't take a home game away from somebody to go play in London.
Well, I mean, you saw what happened last year when they were supposed to go play in Mexico City, the Rams and Chiefs.
Exactly.
They were so shitty that they were like, oh, we're going to play in L.A.
Yeah, the field conditions weren't allowed.
The MLB goes to Mexico.
I mean, you go somewhere outside of America. I mean, that's the risk you run.
The MLB may go to Mexico or Puerto Rico.
Well, I mean, half their players are from there, so, I mean, that makes sense.
Makes sense. It makes zero sense. How many NFL players are you actually going to get from England?
I think there's like five.
Yeah, I was about to say.
I think that's about it.
You can count on one hand how many people.
Not enough to garner.
The Bills got a guy this year, some rugby player. They're going to play like running back / slot receiver. And then the Giants picked up some defensive lineman the Saints had on the practice squad last year that's from
well, the country you're going to get players from the most is Australia. And it's going to be rugby-style punters or players.
It's not like in the NBA where you can go get a Luka who's going to come. Because they don't
play that sport over there. Like it's not a sport over there.
The sport isn't played or taught right over there, so it makes zero sense.
But they do have this like English, it's like British NFL program or something like that. Where over there, if you want to play, like people that play rugby want to try to transition over and play it. Like a transition, like try to get on NFL squads.
There's something over there because Brandon Kinnett, he was the quarterback at Duke before Daniel Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And I follow him on Instagram, and he plays for this team, and it's overseas, and they're called like the Roosters or something, and it's like
that's a Colt Bennett league.
I mean, it's football, like it's 11-on-11 American football.
That's a Colt Bennett league.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying he makes millions over there. I'm just saying he went over there, and that's where he plays.
Plays over there, tries to make a living doing it over there.
Yeah. So like they have football, but it's just they'll never be a team in London.
How long is it going to take for the XFL to fold?
2 years, if that.
I think that they'll fold in five. I think that that's going to be the league that succeeds for a little bit.
I don't think anybody's going to watch it for a long period of time.
Well,
I don't think it's going to be competitive enough. You're not going to have players coming out of college. Like, you're going to have guys go in the first round, want to go to the XFL draft over playing the NFL. It's just not going to happen. You're not going to have the talent.
It's going to be the same as the AFL, whatever. AAF.
Yep.
You're gonna get the guys that don't make the NFL rosters.
That's what they're doing.
Somebody would rather ride the bench on an NFL team than go be the star player in the XFL.
Well, it's because money. Yeah, it's all because of money.
And it's to get you a chance to go to training camp.
But my thought on it is, if any other professional football league wants to like actually exist and coexist with the NFL, you need to go to the NFL and try to make like a farm system where like you can get kids that. If they want to come out of high school, you can pay kids to come out of high school. Don't want to go to college to play football.
Yeah,
you got to you do stuff like that. Like there's basketball leagues that do that now. Like you can put a kid can like not go to college, go
that's
play.
That's the best way to do it.
Some like low beat like basketball league for a couple years and go. Okay, well now you're eligible to get drafted or like go play on an NBA team. Same thing with NFL.
I'm all
it's
for
like a,
farm
it's, it's gonna be like a they need a farm system. College the NFL lives off having a free farm system. Kids pay to go to school or have schools pay for them to come to their school to learn how to play football to go to the NFL. Yeah. That's all it is. Like other sports have to support their own farm systems within.
Well, the NBA does the same thing now.
Yeah,
that's why they're going to
have the G League.
They're going to regenerate the G League
to
do it. I thought, and that's fair. Everybody should copy the MLB in what they do.
Yeah,
you can get drafted out of high school if you want
to
go.
You should have to play. If you're not good enough to play, go play fucking A ball or double A ball or whatever it is. Like
that's like guys in the majors get drafted out of high school all the time, never make it past double A.
Yeah. But then you can reject that offer and say, no, I'm going to go to college. Yeah. Well, you have to go for 3 years.
Yeah, you have to go for 3 years. Well, now it's
the best way to do
it. It was 21. Now, baseball, you can be a 21-year-old sophomore and go out. It depends on how old you are. It's not a minimum number of years because Rawlinson went out as a 21-year-old sophomore.
Oh, I just thought he got to go because he was the way he was draft eligible. He wasn't drafted out of high school.
No, he was drafted out of high school.
He was probably low. But now it's all based on age. Like if you're 21, it doesn't matter how many years you've played in college. Yeah, so if you're a 21-year-old sophomore or like something like this, so like most kids go out as juniors because they're 21. But I think you have to stay until you're a junior.
Even if you're 20,
if you're 20, you can leave as a junior if you're younger than everybody else.
Yeah.
But if you're a 21-year-old sophomore, you can dip early. That's why he got to leave early.
That's like JT Ginn at State. He's going to be eligible after next season. And I think that's ultimately why he went to school.
Or just because he knew he'd only play 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, you can go play 2 years at Mississippi State.
Or go play 2 years in A-ball.
Or go play 2 years in minor league and ride a bus everywhere you go. I mean.
Get to go have somewhat of a college experience. Go to a D1 program, you know, win some games. Go play SEC ball. Yeah. Go play in the tournament at the end of the year. You know, get to
exactly.
do that.
He comes to the state and does what he's supposed to do. He's going to get drafted in the first round again. And they're going to send him straight to double-A. He's going to go to rookie ball for 2 months and then go to double A. If he's that good, they'll fast track him to the pros.
I mean, I understand
like
that.
Vlad Jr.
Yeah.
So,
or like Dansby Swanson or Alex Bregman. Yeah. They were in the minors, what, a year and a half apiece?
Yeah.
If you're that good, they're going to get you up quick.
Yep.
And especially, that's why more guys are going to college now because the competition is getting better. You're playing SEC.
Unless you get drafted top five. It's hard to turn down the signing bonus you get drafted top five, regardless if you think you're going to play A ball for 2 or 3 years.
It doesn't matter.
You'll be able to live off that money you get.
Yeah. But college baseball is better now than it's ever been for going to the pros.
So what we're in agreement is that the NFL should adopt something like the farm system.
Yeah.
If they're going to have a spring league.
If there's going to be any other league that tries to rival the NFL for
the NFL is going to have to endorse it.
Yeah, the NFL needs to endorse a league to be a farm system. If you have leagues that keep trying to steal views from the NFL, it's not
going
to happen.
You're not going.
It's not going to happen.
Well, that's why they're doing it in the springtime.
But it's still though. I would rather read about offseason NFL news than watch an AAF game.
Because you think,
okay, that's fair. That's fair.
I would rather all the way through March up to the draft. I'd rather listen to draft coverage and read and look at players who are going to get drafted into the NFL than even give a shit about who the guys that might wind up on practice squads next year out of the AAF.
Because if they're going to be playing through April and May, they're going to get zero views for at least one of those weekends. Nobody's going to watch XFL
during Masters
over the draft.
And Masters,
yeah,
and
Masters,
the Masters.
Masters weekend.
And you have basketball.
There's two
you have the end of regular season NBA going on.
You have
NHL playoffs going on. You have so many sports and
there's
playoffs
so going
and
on
events
in
going
spring.
On. You can't compete. You just can't do it.
There's nobody wants to watch a guy who can't make an NFL practice squad out there.
It's not going to happen.
All right, so we're going to wrap things up. Kyle, we very appreciate you coming on with us today, man. It was a blast with you.
I appreciate it. I appreciate the invite. Had a good time.
Anytime a guest comes on, we kind of ask them a random question, and it's the only thing that you're not prepared for.
Okay.
I'm not prepared either.
Yeah, so like I was actually thinking last night, you know, what can I ask Kyle? And you're a big – your girlfriend's from Chicago, right?
Yeah.
You've been to a Blackhawks game and all that.
Mm-hmm. I've been a Blackhawks fan for about 2 months.
Well,
total.
At least you're honest. I've been a Blue Jackets fan for about 3 months total.
Right. I've been a Browns fan my whole life. I don't know what y'all are talking about.
So, you've had Chicago-style pizza, right?
Uh-huh. 100%.
What's better, Chicago-style pizza or New York-style pizza?
I'm going to be honest. I've never had true New York-style pizza, ever. I've never been to New York. I mean, but you're talking about like oversized, just like straight New York-ish style pizza. I haven't had it from New York. But if I had to eat pizza from anywhere, I'm choosing Chicago pizza.
Oh, trash.
I'm sorry, dude.
Trash.
I've never had it, so I can't comment. The deep dish is there.
It's real.
It's a casserole.
It's real. Nah, dude.
The sauce is on the outside of the pizza.
Lasagna.
Dude, yes. Nah, dude, doesn't matter. You go, you got it. If you ever find yourself in Chicago, go to Illuminati's.
They do Illuminati?
Illuminati's. Not Illuminati.
Illuminati's.
Illuminati's. Okay. Deep dish pizza. I'm talking about crust is like that fucking thick, dude. It's nice and garlic and butter, you know. Spread across it, it's fire. But the best food in Chicago, in my opinion, that I haven't really had anywhere else is Italian beef sandwiches. That's it. Like Italian beef. You do like some. They do like au jus gravy, I guess, on top of it with hot peppers. Can't beat it.
Okay, that does sound. That sounds good.
It's time to go get lunch.
You can't beat that. That's it. And then I had, I guess they claim to be the world's best hot dog at Gene and Jude's Hot Dogs in Chicago. I've been down there twice, and that is the best hot dog I've ever had. It's just like Chicago style. Like it's solid.
Must be good. He went back for a second time.
Yeah, I went back. Well, I've been up there two times. I've went both times I went to visit.
I love a good hot dog, man.
It's good. She got me addicted. Then went to a Cubs game. Best sporting event live I've ever been to. I watched that. Rookie they called up last year hit the walk-off grand slam against Washington. I was there for the walk-off grand slam. Scherzer dish like 8 1/3 with like 14 Ks. Like he was dealing. They bring in the bullpen, a walk-off grand slam. That's the craziest sporting event I've ever been to.
I imagine that was
crazy. That's the craziest sporting event I've ever been to.
That's one of the places I really want to go.
Yeah, Wrigley was a hell of an experience. It was really fun.
Well, man, good luck on graduation. Good luck on law school with you, man.
I appreciate it. We'll see if I get in. I'm waiting to hear back from here in MC, so we'll see.
Anybody out there needs an agent. Remember the name, Kyle Sheldon.
Going to law school, you know, trying to specialize in contracts, be a sports agent. Hit me up. Email kyleshelton24@gmail.com. Take my business inquiries there. Just let me know.